Please turn with me in your Bible to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 39, verse 1 through chapter 40, verse 5. We are working our way together, of course, through the book of Isaiah under the heading The Gospel According to Isaiah. This morning we want to consider together good news in challenging times. Again, our text this morning is from the book of Isaiah, picking up where we left off last time, beginning with chapter 39, verse 1. Let's hear God's word. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent envoys with letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he'd heard that he had been sick and had recovered. And Hezekiah welcomed them gladly, and he showed them his treasure house, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious oil, his whole armory, all that was found in his storehouses. There was nothing in his house or in all his realm that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet came to King Hezekiah and said to him, "What did these men say? And from where do they come to you?" Hezekiah said, "They've come to me from a far country, from Babylon." He said, "What have they seen in your house?" Hezekiah answered, "They've seen all that's in my house. There's nothing in my storehouses that I did not show them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and that which your fathers have stored up till this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And some of your own sons who will come from you, whom you will father, shall be taken away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord that you've spoken is good." For he thought, "There will be peace and security in my days. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." A voice cries, "In the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." The reading of the word of God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, so good, so gracious, so warm, so merciful, so kind, we come as your children this morning, as children to a loving heavenly Father. We come that we might know afresh your embrace, your love, your kindness, and your mercy, that you might hear our prayers, that we might sit at your feet and hear your word, that you might minister to us and teach us and instruct us as a father with his children, Lord. Bless us, we pray, by means of your word this morning. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. We live in challenging times. Much like the prophet Isaiah, we live in challenging times, times when our faith is often tested, times of uncertainty and unknown, times when the future doesn't always look real bright, when sometimes everything is turned against us. We live in challenging times, as the prophet Isaiah did, when good news is greatly needed. If you remember where we left off last time, Hezekiah was the king of Judah. Judah, of course, is the southern half of the people of God. It's the southern half of Israel. So here is Hezekiah. He's the king over the southern half of the people of God. He's located there in the palace in Jerusalem while the Assyrian army invaded from the north. And as Hezekiah waited and as he watched, the Assyrians conquered city after city and town after town and village after village until they'd conquered all the northern half of Israel and then even the fortified cities of the south, so that all that was left was Jerusalem. And we saw several weeks ago that then the king of Assyria sent a nasty letter to Hezekiah, saying in effect, "You're next. None of the gods have been able to keep us from conquering all these other cities and villages. We've conquered all these other towns and certainly don't think your Lord is going to save you. You and the people of Jerusalem are next." And so Hezekiah goes into the temple and he lays out this awful, intimidating letter before the Lord and he prays and he asks the Lord to save him and save his people. And the Lord responded and said that he would take the king of Assyria and send the king of Assyria home. God says, "I'm going to put a hook in the nose of the king of Assyria and send him back to Assyria. And God's people will once again grow and spread and flourish and bear fruit. And then last week we saw that during that time, that is, while the Assyrians were still a threat, before God had sent the king of Assyria back to Assyria, during that time, while all that was going on, Hezekiah also got sick. And he was sick to the point of death. He almost died. In fact, Isaiah came to him and said, "Thus says the Lord, get your house in order, because you're not going to recover. You're going to die." And we saw last week that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he prayed. And so the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, and he says, "Go to Hezekiah and tell him, I've heard your prayer, and I've seen your tears. And behold, I'm going to give you another 15 years. I'm going to extend your life another 15 years, and I will save the people of the city." And he said, "This will be the sign to you." He said, "I'm going to cause the shadow on the sundial in the palace court to go backwards 10 steps. That is, he's going to make the shadow in the sundial go back as if time was going backwards, as if God was turning back time. And that was a supernatural sign to Hezekiah that God would keep his promise, that Hezekiah would not die but would have another 15 years of life, and that God would spare the city. Well, that's where we pick up this morning, beginning with chapter 39. It says, "At that time," meaning while the Assyrians are still a threat, God has not yet sent them off back to the land of Assyria. While the Assyrians are still a threat, at that time, Merodach-Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent envoys with letters and a present to Hezekiah. Now, if you want to open up your bulletin and look on the inside of your bulletin, Cindy's been kind enough to include a map on the inside of your bulletin to help you understand just kind of where Babylon is related to Assyria and Jerusalem. You can see, of course, Jerusalem's there in what we call modern-day Palestine. Assyria is located there in what we primarily think of as the Fertile Crescent. And then there to the toward the east of Jerusalem, you see Babylonia and the city of Babylon, which at the time was part of the Assyrian Empire. What you don't see on the map is that empty space in the middle is not labeled. That's the Arabian Desert, and no one would travel through the desert. So if you're going to come all the way from Babylon to Jerusalem, you would have to follow the Fertile Crescent. You'd have to go north up the Tigris and Euphrates and then come all the way over. So Babylon is quite a long distance away from Jerusalem. In fact, this is probably the first time someone from Babylon has actually come to Jerusalem. So this is really an unusual event that the king of Babylon has sent ambassadors or envoys to Jerusalem with letters and a gift. And it tells us why. It says the king of Babylon sent envoys with letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and had recovered. If you remember, Hezekiah has just experienced this miraculous recovery. And being a king, This was quite the news, and so importantly, the news of his miraculous recovery has spread all the way to the land of Babylon. And so here the king of Babylon has sent ambassadors or envoys with a gift saying, in effect, "We're so happy, we're so thankful to hear that you've recovered. We're happy to hear that you're doing better." This was the sort of thing that is still common even today among governments and leaders trying to maintain good relationships with others in authority. The king of Babylon is showing some kindness towards Hezekiah. Now, everything we've been reading about, not just this morning, but for the last few weeks, is of such importance to the people of God, this whole invasion from Assyria, that it's mentioned in several places in the Bible, not just in Isaiah, but also in Kings and Chronicles. And 2 Chronicles tells us that when the king of Babylon sent these envoys, these ambassadors, it was really for at least two purposes. One was to bring a gift and express appreciation, that gratitude that Hezekiah is doing better. But the other reason was because they wanted to hear about this miraculous sign. Remember, God had provided this miraculous sign. He made the shadow go backwards 10 steps on the sundial. And apparently the news of that had also spread all the way to Babylon. And if you remember anything about ancient Babylon, the Babylonians were especially interested in things involving the stars and astronomy and such. And so the king of Babylon has sent his ambassadors, his envoys, to bring a gift to Hezekiah, just saying, "We're so happy to hear you're doing better," but also to inquire, Tell us more about this unusual sign that you witnessed, this supernatural sign from the skies. So what we have this morning is an unusual opportunity to welcome these guests in the name of the Lord. If you remember what we saw last week is that the Hezekiah, when Hezekiah was cured, when he experienced this miraculous recovery, he shared his testimony. And not only did he share it, but he actually put it together into a song because Hezekiah wanted the world to know what God had done for him. And so he put out in song the kind of the story of how he had gotten so sick and how he was hopeless and miserable. And he said he moaned like a dove. And then the Lord heard his prayer and revived him and brought him back to life and strength. And he wanted the world to know what God had done for him. Well, now, what an opportunity that these envoys from Babylon have come all this way, essentially saying, tell us what God has done for you. Tell us how you've been healed. Tell us how God made this a miraculous sign. The world has come to Jerusalem asking to hear what God has done for them. You know, the Lord sends us out into the world. But how great is it when the world comes to us and asks us, tell us more what God has done for you. This is what's happening in effect. These pagan king of Babylon has sent his envoys, his ambassadors, to come and give this gift and say, tell us how you were cured. Tell us about your miraculous recovery and tell us about the supernatural sign that God has given you. And so the Lord has given Hezekiah a wonderful opportunity to share the love of God and to share his faith. That's really what hospitality is. It's about welcoming people in the name of the Lord. Welcoming people not just into your home, but into your life and letting people see this is what life is like in my little corner of the kingdom of God. Here were these obviously pagan men who've known life in Babylon. Here's a chance to welcome them into the palace in Jerusalem. This is what life is like in the kingdom of God. Let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. Let me show you the courtyard and the sundial and how the shadow went backward 10 steps as a sign that God would save my life. Let me take you to meet Isaiah the prophet. Because remember, Isaiah lived in town, and it was Isaiah who came to Hezekiah and told him, thus says the Lord, I've heard your prayers, I've seen your tears, I'm going to give you another 15 years of life, I'm going to save the city, and I'm going to give you a sign by sending the shadow backwards 10 steps. How easy it would have been for Hezekiah to welcome these people in the name of the Lord, tell them all that the Lord had done for him, and then go and introduce them to Isaiah, and Isaiah could witness to them, and the two of them could work together in tandem to share their testimony and the gospel to these men. How wonderful it would have been. How history could have been changed if these men could have gone back to Babylon bearing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How the world would have been changed if they had gone back to the king of Babylon saying, let us tell you the amazing thing the Lord has done for his people back in Jerusalem. God gave Hezekiah this amazing opportunity to welcome them in the name of the Lord. And Hezekiah blew it. It says, Merodach-Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent envoys with letters and a present to Hezekiah. For he heard that he had been sick and had recovered. And Hezekiah welcomed them gladly. And he showed them his treasure house, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious oil, his whole armory, all that was found in his storehouses. There was nothing in his house or in all his realm that Hezekiah did not show them. So Hezekiah welcomed these envoys. He welcomed them inside, but not for the purposes of telling them about the love of the Lord, not to tell them what God had done for him, not to introduce him to Isaiah the prophet, but he welcomes them in to show off his wealth, to show off the silver and the gold and take them to the storehouses and the treasure house and show them all the spices. It says there was nothing in his house or in all his realm that Hezekiah did not show them. You know, often people don't practice hospitality because they feel like this enormous pressure that the house has to be just perfect. Or sometimes people don't ever have anyone over because they say, well, my house, I don't have all the nice things like some people have. But hospitality is about welcoming people in the name of the Lord, showing the love of God and the mercy of God, giving people a taste of what it's like in your corner of the kingdom of God, welcoming them into your life, it's not about showing off your possessions and your things. And especially during the holiday season, when many of us will be practicing hospitality and enjoying other people's hospitality, having family and friends over or going over to visit family and friends. And as we're celebrating the birth of Christ together, this is not the time to be overly concerned that everything looks perfect. It's not the time to focus on our gifts and our presence. But this is the time to welcome one another in the name of the Lord. I mean, it's wonderful when we can decorate our houses. It's wonderful when we can exchange gifts. And all these can be a great means of welcoming other people. You want your house to look nice when possible, to make people comfortable. But the purpose is to welcome people in the name of the Lord. It's not to show off. Even when we do have people over, sometimes we become distracted that we want everything to look just perfect, when we should be more concerned about our guests and their comfort. People don't come to our homes because they want to tour our house. They come because they want to be with you and enjoy you. And so this is an occasion for us to welcome one another into our homes, whether or not things look perfect or not. We're welcoming them in the name of the Lord, not to talk about how great we are, but to show one another and remind each other just how great the Lord is. We see that our approach to hospitality is a reflection of what's in our heart. It reveals what's really important to us. Second Chronicles tells us that the Lord allowed this to happen. He allowed the guests to come from Babylon to test Hezekiah's heart. Hezekiah said he wanted to share his testimony to the world. He said he was going to trust in God's faithfulness forever and tell everyone, and he would sing and praise the Lord. But when this opportunity comes, Hezekiah fails the test. Look at verse 3. Then Isaiah the prophet came to King Hezekiah and said to him, "What did these men say? And from where did they come to you?" Instead of Hezekiah bringing the guest and introducing him to Isaiah and letting Isaiah lay out the wonderful gospel message, Isaiah has to come on his own after the guests have left and said, "Who were those guys? Where did they come from?" Hezekiah said, "They've come to me from a far country, from Babylon." He said, "What have they seen in your house?" Hezekiah answered, "They've seen all that's in my house. There's nothing in my storehouses that I did not show them." You know, especially this time of year, we want to welcome the Lord into our lives. We don't want to hold anything back. We were reminded of how there was no room for Mary and Joseph and the Christ child in the inn. And we think we don't want to be like that. We want to welcome the Lord into our lives. And yet here we see Hezekiah has done just the opposite. He's welcomed these guests into his treasure houses. And he's held nothing back. He's shown no discretion, no hesitation. He's shown them all his riches. He's more concerned with what they think of him than when with pleasing the Lord. And so what is really in Hezekiah's heart is brought to light. How we approach hospitality, how we welcome people into our lives, whether we keep them at a distance or let them in, whether we give of ourselves or think only of ourselves, whether we focus on our own stuff and our belongings or we think about and are concerned for others, our approach to hospitality is a reflection of what's in our heart. What matters to us? If you're really concerned for someone, you really want to get to know that person, if you really want someone to come to know the Lord Jesus or at least an opportunity to share your testimony with them, you'll find a way. Even when things aren't perfect, you'll find a way to spend time with people. And if you can't have them in your home, you can meet them somewhere else. But however you approach hospitality or don't approach it reveals what's really important in our own hearts. Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and that which your fathers have stored up till this day shall be carried to Babylon." Isaiah says, "Hear the word of the Lord. The day is coming one day, It'd be many years from this, but one day when all this that you're so proud of, all this that you've been showing off, all this wealth that you've been boasting in, it's all going to be carried off to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And some of your own sons, the word there can mean male descendants, grandsons, great-grandsons, those who should be sitting on the throne of Jerusalem after Hezekiah is long gone, some of your own sons who will come from you, who you will father, shall be taken away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. This is really bad news. I mean, Hezekiah is on a mountaintop. I mean, he must be really full of himself. He's just had this visit from this ambassadors from the king of Babylon, this far-off king sending him a gift, and he's so proud of himself, and he's been showing off all his treasure houses, and he's must be on top of the world, only to have Isaiah give him some really bad news. Isaiah says, all this wealth one day will be carried off to Babylon, and even your descendants, your male descendants, the men who should be kings of Babylon, of Jerusalem, they're going to be carried off and be servants in the palace of Babylon. This is really bad news for the people of God. And yet Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord you've spoken is good. For he thought, there will be peace and security in my days. Hezekiah was okay with this bad news. I mean, you would think Hezekiah would fall apart. Remember how Hezekiah responded when he was told that he was going to die? He turned his face to the wall and he wept and he said, oh Lord, remember, I've served you with my whole heart. And he was like a child. He was so immature. You would think that Hezekiah would fall apart with this bad news. But instead he says, I'm okay with it because it's not going to affect me. The way he responds, again, is a reflection to what matters to him. He's only concerned about the here and now. Hezekiah has all these responsibilities as a king. Plus, he's worried about the Assyrian invasion. And don't forget, not that long ago, he was so sick he almost died. And so when you tell him that Jerusalem's going to fall many, many, many years from now, well, that sounds like good news to Hezekiah, because at least it won't happen now. Not in my lifetime. Not to me. Well, certainly that's not the way Hezekiah should respond. But how should he respond? How should you respond when you hear bad news that doesn't immediately impact you? I mean, you know, recently there was a terrible tornado in Texas, and we tried to mobilize and send disaster relief, and then we had to pivot when the hurricane hit Florida, and we tried to send relief there, and then, of course, a hurricane destroys Puerto Rico, and we have ongoing ministry efforts there, and then you got the wildfires going on in California, and you can only handle so much. You can only help with so much. How should you respond to all this bad news that doesn't immediately impact you? You don't want to be like Hezekiah and blow it off and think it doesn't matter because, well, at least I'm comfortable. But you don't want to be like Hezekiah was when he heard he's going to die, and you don't want to act childish and fall apart. How do you respond when you hear all this bad news out there? It's challenging, isn't it? It's challenging. Welcoming people in your life means caring about other people. It means caring about more than yourself. It means taking on their concerns and their burdens. And how do you do that without being completely overwhelmed? These are challenging times when really good news is needed. Look with me at chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. This is the Lord speaking to Isaiah, and he's given Isaiah a message of good news to comfort the people. He says, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended. Well, now, the warfare wasn't really over, was it? I mean, the Assyrians were still threatening, and then even later, the Babylonians were going to come. And yet God has a message of comfort. Even while that threat is still out there, the Lord has given Isaiah good news to uphold him as a prophet and good news for him to share with the people of God. The Lord has given us good news. good news to comfort us, and good news for us to share with others. God calls you to comfort his people. There's so many voices of complaining. It's so many people gossiping. There's so many people talking about this scandal and this problem. It's so easy to become one more voice of complaint to add to people's problems and headaches and ulcers. God calls you to be different. He calls you to be a voice of comfort, a voice of good news. And you can have comfort even in hard times. Maybe the holidays are difficult for you. Maybe it reminds you of lost loved ones, or maybe it's just an emotional time, or perhaps it's just a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, a lot of things to get done. In spite of that, we can also have joy as we remember the birth of Jesus Christ. God is not taking away all of Jerusalem's problems, and yet he's sending a message of comfort in the midst of their problems. God is going to take care of you. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. He says, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. Well, if you remember, there was a reason why God was allowing the Assyrians to invade and cause all the trouble. And it was because before Hezekiah was king, Hezekiah's father, Ahaz, was king. And Ahaz was a very immoral man, a very idolatrous man. King Ahaz led the nation in restoring idolatry. And it was because of King Ahaz's idolatry, it was for that reason that God was allowing the Assyrians to come in as discipline or as punishment. But then wicked King Ahaz had a godly son, Hezekiah. Hezekiah obviously wasn't perfect, and we've seen his faith was very weak. And here, in case, obviously, he was more concerned about what the king of Babylon thought of him than what the Lord thought. But nevertheless, Hezekiah was a godly son. And you could say that, humanly speaking, he saved the people. Hezekiah had gotten rid of all the idols in Israel. He had reopened the temple, and he's the one who went to the Lord and prayed, and it was because of Hezekiah's prayer that God was going to send the Assyrians away. So you could say that Hezekiah was the godly son. He was the godly son who saved the people. Well, we read this morning in our call to worship, to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. Jesus Christ is that godly son. He's that godly son who saves us from our sins. You know, when we read about how King of Babylon, the king of the east, sent these envoys with a gift to Hezekiah because of his miraculous healing and because of his supernatural sign from the skies, you can't help but think of many years later when those wise men, or some would say kings from the east, would come bearing gifts because of the star in the sky to come and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. If Hezekiah was a godly king who saved his people for a season, it was limited. It was imperfect. Even after he prayed and saved them from the Assyrians, later the Babylonians would come. Yet Jesus is that perfect godly son who would save his people forever. God says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she's received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That doesn't mean that God has been unfair or God's been cruel, but it means that God's discipline is finished. It's done. He would allow the Assyrians to come thus far and no further. Later, he would allow the Babylonians to carry the people off to Babylon, but then they'd be forgiven and they'd be brought back. It's like God will allow things to go only so far, and then it's done and it's finished. Of course, years later, the Lord would send his son, Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate. and Jesus Christ would go to the cross, where he would bear the burden of our guilt and our sin. And on the cross, Jesus would say, "It is finished. It's done." Our sin would be completely paid for. And if you are in Christ, you're forgiven forever. And we can know that God will take care of us. He will always care for his people. And he will build his kingdom because he's given his son for us. And he's pardoned us and forgiven us forever. Jesus is that godly son who saves us from our sins. We need to welcome him. If hospitality is welcoming people in the name of the Lord, how much more do we need to welcome the Lord afresh into our lives? Hezekiah was quick to welcome these guests into every corner of his palace and show them all the different riches and treasures. Instead, we need to be welcoming the Lord into every corner of our lives and giving to him everything that we treasure. The Lord should be our treasure, and we should welcome him. Chapter 40, verse 3 is a familiar passage because it's often quoted in the New Testament. A voice cries, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." The image there is that we are a wilderness. We are a mess. We are not a fruitful people as we ought to be. And yet, the voice cries out, "Get ready and welcome the Lord into your life as you are." Sometimes we don't have guests over because we feel like our house is just a mess. Perhaps sometimes we're reticent to let the Lord into our lives because we feel like our life is such a mess. Isaiah says, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." Let the Lord into the wilderness, the mess of your life, and he will make you flourish, and he will make you prosper, and he will make you fruitful. It says, "Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." In other words, welcome the Lord in, and God is the one who comes and brings the change. He brings the growth. He brings the blessing. He brings the fruitfulness. This is just what God had promised Hezekiah. He told Hezekiah, "I'm going to send the king of Assyria back to Assyria, and God's people will once again grow and spread and flourish and bear fruit." And here we're encouraged. Welcome the Lord into our life. Welcome the Lord into this world as he came into this world and took on flesh. Welcome him into our life, even as there wasn't room in the inn for the baby Jesus. Welcome him into your life, and God will cause you to flourish. He is the one who brings the growth. In spite of the challenges of the time, in spite of the bad news that's out there, in spite of the pressures and the responsibilities, Jesus will cause you to flourish. He will cause you to bear fruit. He will cause his people to grow. Welcome him. Welcome into your life this holiday season. Welcome him into your homes. And he will cause his people to grow and bear good fruit. Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, in this very special and very challenging time, in a busy time when we have much we want to accomplish, much we want to do, we need you most of all. Help us, oh Lord, not to focus so much on the gifts, the belongings, the treasures of this life, that we forget the great indescribable gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come, Lord Jesus, into our lives, into our homes this holiday season. Fill our lives and our homes. Help us to welcome one another in the name of the Lord. Come, O Lord, and make us fruitful, make us happy, make us grateful, make us thankful. Make us godly and make us joyful. Come, O Lord, and change us and transform us and do what only you can do. For we invite you afresh into our lives and pray that you might come and change us, that we might welcome you and welcome one another in the name of the Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.